We're going to talk today about Veterans Affairs. I know it's something you're very passionate about, and we had the announcement a couple of weeks ago that there will be a Royal Commission into veteran suicides. It's something that you've been pushing for a long time, and I know, I think mostly all sides of politics supported it too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what we've found, Martin, is suicide's always been an issue, even when I was serving, and I've lost count of the amount of soldiers that I've sadly had to bury during my time. And it has an incredible toll, not just on that soldier's family, but also on the chain of command. So those soldiers under my command were like my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I cared for them. And when you lose one under your watch, you feel as if you're partly responsible.
Well, I've seen your speech in Parliament when you were supporting this, and you mentioned that the services are a family.
Absolutely. Mm. We're a band of brothers and sisters. Yeah. When you lose one of your own, particularly by suicide, because... You know, the experience that I've had, it's almost as if you're their boss, why didn't I see that coming? Why didn't I recognise the signs?
Is there something I could have done to stop it?
Yeah, exactly right. Mm. And I think about that every day, Martin, and I live with that every night. So if we can do something, I mean, we've already reduced the numbers whilst they're serving. We've reduced that by 50%. So they're 50% less likely to die by suicide if they're a serving member of the Defence Force. However, once they exit defence and discharge, the opposite occurs.
That support network's gone.
Yeah, and they're twice as likely now, or even sometimes even greater than that.
Well, 70 last year. You know, we often talk about the domestic violence situation where it's more than 50 women a year killed by their partners, and we're saying that's an epidemic. Well, this is even worse. It's 70,
We've lost more soldiers, since Afghanistan started than we've lost in Afghanistan.
Yes, I believe that, so it'll take 18 months for the Royal Commission to go through it. I know one of the things you said during your speech was that you want to see something happening now, because what happens to the blokes and they're mainly men, what happens to those people in the next 18 months while they're waiting for the outcomes of the Royal Commission, and then it's going to take longer to implement them, so they need something in place now.
Yep, you're absolutely nail on the head with that, Martin. And
I'm only quoting from your speech.
Yeah, but I meant what I said.
Yeah.
An off-the-shelf Royal Commission, I mean, we've just closed the inquiry stage for submissions for the terms of reference.
Yep.
That terms of reference will now be compiled by the Attorney General's Department, and then a Royal Commission will be formulated. That could take up to 2 years. This is a huge Royal Commission. Mm. Then recommendations need to be handed down, and we need to put things into place to prevent or to reduce that terrible number. But my argument is, what happens to that digger that's contemplating that next week or tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And rightly so, we've also continuing our push for the Standing Commissioner. So some delineation of responsibility will need to take place between what the Royal Commission is doing, and that will more or less be a retrospective look, look back, why, when, how, what could we have done? Whereas the Standing Royal Commissioner will look at current issues and any up-to-date, looking-forward view. But as well as that, we've also got the Families Commissioner, Martin. And I think this is an important thing.
Well, because it affects the families as much.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, when you do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and I suffer from it myself.
Yes, you've been open about it, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't say that for pity. I say that to let veterans know that you can have this thing, and you can still function. I function at a pretty high level here.
Yes,
so it's not the end of the world. But my point is, with the families, the families advocate, will look after the kids, the spouse, because often you tend to strike out at those closest to you if you do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And I want those kids to understand and be helped through this process. Why is mum or dad feeling the way that they do?
Yeah.
I think it's important. So Gwen Churns, her appointment to that position, I can't recommend her strongly enough. She's an absolute right fit for this. She's a nurse. She's probably, I don't know, I'm guessing, but she's probably late 30s.
Yep.
Her husband was a commando. And he suffered a stroke in Afghanistan, came back, was discharged, and then 6 months later took his own life.
Right.
She's been through it.
She's been through it and done
She's been through the ringer. Mm. She's been to hell and back. And she wants to do is to help other families.
Yeah. So when she says, I understand, she really does.
She gets it,
yeah,
Martin.
She does.
And it's like, and I mean, I've got a mate up in Herbert in Townsville, which is our largest garrison town, home of a lot of veterans. Phil Thompson. But Phil and I really did, you know, we banded together on this one and we really, pushed this Royal Commission. And we want this fixed. It's not good enough.
Now, when you talk about the Commissioner too, that's important. And that's also important that we have, I'm sure you're aware of the program that's just been instituted by the RSL in Tasmania. And I spoke to their Robert Dick, their State President, about it a couple of weeks ago. And this is about helping employers to work with veterans to find them jobs. And I know in your speech you mentioned what happens when a veteran doesn't have a job.
Yeah, and it's a sense of purpose.
Yeah, and people think, oh, well, I'm not going to hire him because he's damaged goods or because he's got PTSD, and that's, you know, actually the opposite is what you're saying. They make great employees.
They do, and, you know, I've just come back from Canberra. One of my ex-soldiers, he was a Special Forces electronic warfare operator.
Yep.
He's got his own company. He designs electromagnetic pulse countermeasure technology for geo-orbital satellite systems. This kid is smart. He's got 72 people working for him, predominantly veterans.
Yep.
And what I'm saying is the majority of our veterans transition very seamlessly, very smoothly. They're effective. You know, they're driven people. They're used to working in that big team environment. Their mission focus is incredible. They'll cut the white noise out of it. They're not distracted. They won't stop until the job's done. They're reliable. They're used to getting up early in the morning. They're used to working, for a boss and for a target, for a goal. They're outcome-driven people. So the majority function very well, transition very well. It's just we need to help those that do struggle. We need to give them a bit of a hand.
Yeah, indeed. Now, in the federal budget, there was money put aside for that, obviously, but also in Tasmania in particular for some wellbeing centres that are going to be established around Tasmania. In fact, we were visited by the Minister for Veteran Affairs quite recently, and you actually were with him. He came to the Northwest Coast. I think he went to a couple of RSL clubs and spoke to people. So
yeah, and it was a very fruitful visit. So I've been banging on that we need something for our veterans to help them out. They only need access to good GPs that have had military experience or understand the rigours of service life. Understand some of these GPs, although they're very good at their job, they might not know what these soldiers, sailors and airmen have gone through. So someone that has a background, they need access to good psychologists, they need access to good family liaison people to help the families through. They need access to sleep therapists and nutritionists. And we need to build into these veterans a sense of well-being. So, they're very fit when they're in the army.
Yep.
That they get out, the fitness goes. You know, they wake up 7:20 every morning, do PT for an hour. They have morning tea at 10 o'clock. Thursday afternoons, they have sport afternoons. They're used to that big regime. They're used to having their mates around them. But when they get out, no mates.
No.
You know, no PT. They get overweight. The brain chemicals aren't there anymore. They can't get a job. And it's just a slow slope to what we end up with, these terrible death by suicide.
I think, you know, we're becoming more aware of it now. Look, when I go back to when I was growing up, back injuries were fairly common, so we started finding better ways to lift and all that sort of stuff. And then when computers came along, we all started getting RSI and things like that, so we came up with ergonomic furniture and things like that, and we all accept that. So now we understand what PTSD is, so we need to put mechanisms in place to stop that.
Absolutely. And, I have a tablet every day, and it's not an issue for me.
Yeah.
I've got to go for a walk, keep myself reasonably active, and I've got to keep my brain active. And I've done that. And it's not an issue for me. But for many that don't have that regime, we need to build that into their life.
Darren Chester was the bloke I couldn't think of,
the Minister
Veterans Affairs. There was $5 million in the budget for a veteran wellbeing centre to be established in Tasmania. We don't know what that's going to be yet, do we?
No, but what we did was we took the Minister for Veterans Affairs and Defence Personnel to Burnie, where we've a mate of mine and a team down there have already set something up.
Okay.
His name's Dr. Andrew Clark, and he's done a fantastic job. He was a bomb expert in the Army when I served.
Right.
And
so there's a perfect example of how you can transition into civilian life.
Exactly right. For retraining, they said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Oh, well, I have a crack at being a doctor." So now he's one of the best GPs around. He's got a veteran focus. He's got a well-being focus. So he's trying the preventative. So he sees a lot of veterans. He's plugged into Open Arms, our great organisation that we have here in Tasmania. And he's providing a network of supports around our veterans. It's going gangbusters. He's done it on the smell of an oily rag. So we're going to try and augment that with some of that $5 million that we've got for wellness centres in the top end of Tasmania. And hopefully we'll see something great out of this. We'll perfect a model. They don't need much, Martin.
No.
They're not asking for marble floors or statues. They're asking for, do they just want their stuff fixed?
Mm.
They just want their stuff fixed. So let's get around them. Let's support veterans. All the employers out there, right up and down the coast, if you've got the opportunity to employ a veteran, they do come with some tremendous skills. Yeah. And I'd encourage any employer out there, please think about employing a veteran.
And I like what you say there about they just want to get their stuff fixed. We know how to fix it. It's not as if it's something we don't know how to fix. I mean, there's been enough research and enough looking into it to know how to fix it. So we have to have these mechanisms in place.
This is not NASA.
No.
This is basic stuff. And the worst thing for a veteran, the worst thing for anybody, Martin, and I'm sure your listeners will share this frustration, is when you ring a place and then they say, "Oh, that's not my department. You'll have to go to another department." And that could take months. And then you need a specialist referral. "Oh, you can't get into the specialist for 3 months."
Mm.
And then they've got to see another specialist. And then it goes on and on. And when you're suffering the effects of service life, I mean, these people have served our country. They've gone to the most dangerous places on the planet, in Afghanistan, Iraq, places like that. They don't need to be bounced from department to department. They want their stuff fixed now.
Yeah, they do. And we know how to fix it. So
absolutely.
So why don't we just fix it? Look, Gavin, thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it. Nice to catch up with you again. And we'll talk again in a fortnight for sure.
Absolutely, Martin. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And if this discussion has raised issues for you or anyone you can always ring Open Arms on 1800 011 046. Beyond Blue, 1300 224 636 or Lifeline 13 11 14.